You can market your entire business with just one podcast. It's not just possible, it's mandatory. Not because 70% of people listen to podcasts, but because 70% of your prospects and clients already do. And if you don't have one, that means they're not listening to yours. So today, myself, the founder of Podcast Principles, and our general manager, Jack Gallagher, sit down to uncover this system. What we mean is, we're gonna tell you how to get started with or without help. We're gonna show you what it is in terms of how much time it's going to take and the resources required. And then number three, we're gonna put that all together here today in this really simple podcast episode. So if you're a business owner or an entrepreneur, this is gonna be gold for you and your marketing. I'm Ryan Sullivan, let's get to it. Happy to be back on actually a virtual podcast this time, Jack. So,
absolutely, it's great to virtually be here. But it, all kidding aside, it is nice to have this be, you know, just an easy way that we can sit down and chat or record some content really quick. We want to get something off our chest.
And clients have been doing it for ages now. They've been proving everybody wrong that you can have is actually have a very successful Zoom podcast. So we're walking the walk as well, you know,
for sure.
100%. So, for sure. Yeah. So what are we going to cover, man? What are we talking
about? Yeah. So speaking of content, we're actually already in that neighborhood. We've, as some people may know, if they've kept close to your network and seen some of the changes that we've gone through, you as a creator and us as a business, we really have been focusing on a new process that is helping busy people, more specifically CEOs, founders, people that may have a small business that are the marketing department, that are the sales department, that have to wear so many hats. We've heard so many stories about people that are just way too stretched out. So we found a way to sort of compress all of that into a nice, easy strategy that people can follow pretty simply. It's pretty repeatable. And it's a way that you can get your podcast or just your content in general off the ground. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about what it is just in general, the 451 system?
Yeah, sure thing. So this has been the 4 or 5 year journey of us running this strategy, but we've now really condensed it to make it simple. And that's the goal of this system, right? So it's called the 451 because that's exactly what we're doing and exactly what our clients are doing. And if you run this, you can expect, if you start with the strategy, an inbound lead generation system, right? To your point, making your life easier, bringing people to your DMs, saying, hey, I'm interested. This is what this system does. Now, what is the system? 4-5-1, 4 podcast episodes a month, an average of 5 clips per episode, and 1 social post per day. And I'll give a couple quick caveats. If you do 4 episodes a month, you have the consistency. That's what success in podcasting takes. If you have an average of 5 clips per episode, you know that that content is repurposable. It's actually going to work on social. And if you do at least 1 social media post per day, that's 365 posts a year. And if you take a few days off at 300 plus posts per year, you're really building a great content marketing system. So that's the high level. That's the overview of 4 episodes a month. Average of 5 clips, 1 post per day.
Can I ask you a couple quick follow-up questions for the 451?
Absolute. Love it.
So with the 451, I know that a lot of people know that we're based on LinkedIn. When you talk about the posting at least once a day on socials, is that, you know, could that be as easy as a clip on a YouTube short? Is it better to have that LinkedIn clip and copy 1-2 punch? What really is the ideal platform you think to use the 451 on, and where could it work, you know, in general?
Yeah. So our system is relying on LinkedIn. So the system has podcasting, meaning audio, YouTube for video, and then LinkedIn for social. Now, that's just how our system works in terms of the system we run and the system we help clients run. The 1 social post per day, it's basically just an excuse to create content. If you can not only post, but prepare posts for at least 5 days a week, you're going to be able to get results. It's not platform specific. It's the platform that works for you. my rule is always one platform to start.
Yeah.
Which is the reason why we don't do TikTok, Instagram, Pinterest.
And that works for me. I'm a simple man, so I like to just do it one by one. We see a lot of people will want to jump on a bunch of different places. The idea being I want to get as much reach as I can as fast as possible, which isn't a bad idea. You want to place all these little touch points out there, but really it's better, like when people talk about niching down, to just pick that one platform and just stick around there. Really get good at that, whether it be YouTube or LinkedIn is probably my top two to spend time on.
Yeah, and let's flip it to the production side, right? In terms of social media, let's start there. What, for the production side, do people have to think about when they're going to repurpose clips from their podcast episode? You know, is it as easy as just, oh, I have a video editor in my DMs and let me send him some episodes? Or, yeah, what is that actual, you know, what do those actions look like to get it from episode to clip to post?
Yeah, I mean, it could be very difficult or it could be very hard. So if you're trying to find somebody, a clip editor, there can be some of that tumble around period where you're trying to find an editor that, especially with clips, has a style that matches your brand or a style that you like, how you want to be perceived, how you want these clips to look. So you can hit a big snag there. Or alternatively, if you start recording, you can get on an AI platform like Opus that can go through automatically an interview, an episode, something like you and I are doing right here, and find those clippable moments. Now that feature, you and I have spoken about how we don't love the moments that it finds, but that's fine. You can go through the episode yourself, or even when you're having that conversation, that interview, there'll be little moments that you realize this is probably a clippable moment. This is something I want to zoom in on. Even on Fathom right now, I believe there's a button that you can hit bookmark this portion of the conversation. That's in Zencast, or I think in Riverside. It's a very common feature. So really, it's about the feel of where those clippable moments are. A minute and a half, 2 minutes, okay. But anything north of that, I don't like to gamble with people's attention. So it could be really difficult if you're finding that perfect clip editor and you go through a couple people and it's hard to negotiate price and you don't know what you're looking for. That's a thorny process. But you can start just with, again, with software without talking to anybody. And it'll be good. Opus has captions. It'll lightly edit it. It'll go ahead and format it so it can actually be used on platforms you want it to be on. So I think it's very easy in terms of just getting the clips out there. If you use something like that, it's about feeling where those moments are. And that's what podcasters, creators really need to develop.
Boom.
So a big part of the 451 system, We Are Podcast Principles, are the podcast episodes. So having those 4 episodes a month, why do you think that's the sweet spot?
Yeah, so I think it's definitely, there's a quantity aspect to it. It's really difficult to get momentum on one episode, on 12 episodes a year. It's like a TV show, right? You'll notice a TV show can do 12 episodes a year, but it's a multi-million dollar production, right? What we're doing, right, is we're really looking for different styles and types and title ideas and basically different avenues for people to consume this content. So if you have one episode a month, that's one chance. If you have 4, then they can self-select and go, oh, out of these 4, I'll check back with your podcast, you know, maybe every few weeks. And then when they do check in, they have a few episodes to look through and they can choose, right? And so there's that. Then I won't fully unpack this, but you have the full YouTube side of it. And then you have the Google side of it too. So it's number one, quantity. It's number two, consistency for the audience, so they know what's coming when it's coming. And then number three, it's the spread of episodes. So that would be the strategy side of why you would want to have 4 episodes per month instead of maybe 1.
Absolutely. And I'll add this on too. We see a lot of this with podcasters. They're so itchy to see the results. They want to get, and I get that too. They want to get on the other side of 2, 3, 4 years to see what it might be. Having those 4 episodes a month, in the beginning, it won't feel like a lot, but you're going to have a lot more air, like you said, testing titles, different topics. You're going to be probing your audience to see where hotspots are, where areas are that you want to focus on. So having more of that is going to be better. If you can stretch that out to have 4 episodes and you have more data on where people are, where their interests lie, I think that's a great way to sort of get your podcast optimized faster as well.
Yeah, and also chances, right? And it's, I mean, even look at our YouTube channel. Look at like my YouTube channel, right? For our business. Took about a year and a half of consistent uploads.
Oh, yeah.
To really start.
Yeah, every week too. Every yeah. week, you know?
Because you don't know what works. You don't know what works until you put stuff out. So what? You're going to give yourself...
That's YouTube as well, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
that could just be how you organize the show notes. Titling's a big thing. Thumbnails, all that. Yeah, so that's even just YouTube. So you constantly need to be in the lab, you know, if you want to be good on YouTube as well as have good podcast content that moves and develops leads, because that's also a pretty nice reward.
So why don't you cover the production side of 4 episodes per month? What do people have to think about? Hey, I'm going to do these 4 podcast episodes. It looks like this nice, easy 20-minute thing, but we have audio, we have video, we have clips, we have thumbnails. So what is the production side, the production challenges, you know, look like on the for doing 4 podcast episodes a month?
I'll keep this short because I think it really boils down to being a better friend to yourself when it comes to planning these projects out. You've heard me say it a bunch of times, Ryan. There's very few things in life where we get to determine the timeline, where we get to determine the inputs, the budgets, all these different things that control how much this project sucks or how much it is inspiring or helps, you know, create a deeper passion or whatever, or it's fun, exciting, whatever. I think the big issue is people don't give themselves enough time. So what does 4 episodes look like a month? It could be a lot or it could be a little. This recording we did today, we had an issue with Zencastr. We had an issue with my microphone. We were supposed to start at 9:30. We started closer to 10, all right? It's a smaller example of what you're going to see, whether it be, okay, I just got this microphone out of the box. It doesn't work with my computer. I don't know what, you know, that might derail things. So my big headline for production in general, without getting too much into the specifics, is give yourself more time. There's going to be issues with freelancers. There may be issues with those first episodes, feeling out how much time they need, what you can do to make that process better, whatever it is. Give yourself time. Have a couple month period where you're recording, you're feeling out your process, and then launch. Because more goes into it and you don't know what may go into it. There may be a problem you have to troubleshoot that you can't foresee unless you have a crystal ball.
Yeah, it's not how many podcast episodes per month. It's how many podcast episodes per month you can handle.
That's yes, but I'll circle this back. This is why we exist, right? So the clear answer is it's not the easiest thing to execute. And if we're talking about a CEO or an owner, somebody, these people that we talk to that run a business, time comes at a premium to them. So this is where people like us or freelancers, if you assemble your own dream team, that's where this could make this process a lot smoother. And then you start realizing, okay, I can sit down for about an hour. I'll get a 30 minute or so solo episode. I send this over to my guy, Randy. He gets it back to me in 2 days. I pay him $200, whatever. It will begin to settle into a routine that will make the process A, more predictable, and be more efficient and faster. But again, you want to be able to feel that out. It's going to take time for you to reach that nirvana where you're happy with the budget, you're happy with the timelines, you got your routine, it's living with your life, your family, your hobbies, everything is working in tandem. That could take 6 months to really figure all that out. You know, we've had guys that'll start and then, oh, something came up, I got to go to Palm Beach for a conference or something. These are just things that need to be worked out. It's difficult to execute a podcast. It's the ultimate maraschino cherry for marketing. It is. It's a lot of work, and it's slow reward in the beginning. It surely is.
I love it. Boom.
The 4-5-1 system, we can talk about the specifics of it, right? We can talk about how we've tailored this process to help people create content more efficiently. My thinking is really it's having a plan in place that is going to help create sustainable growth, right? Are you going to be chased by your podcast? Like, how important do you feel, you know, and I can answer this one too, but in your experience, somebody that's embarking on this process, how important is it to have a strategy? I mean, how much pain and suffering does it really save?
That is the question, right? What I've found.
if you can find a way to, you know, cram that into it, but.
What I've found is, it's kind of like coaching, right? Where a lot of people say that they're a coach, but until you spend thousands of dollars per hour to afford an actual coach, a real coach, right? Say a business coach, for example. Then you realize, oh, I get it. I get what investing in myself means, right? So it's the same thing for strategy. You go, wait, this much money for a strategy? It's not that. It's training you, right? The strategy trains your mindset. And that sounds like fluffy stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Until you go through it and after it, you go, I don't know how I lived without this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or even getting started, right? I mean, I think a big thing too is just the creative aspect. Like, where do you begin? You know, it's like writing a movie script. Like, how do I, like, what do I start with? You know, you need to sit down and read a book and brush up before you can begin, right?
Yeah. And the thing we don't teach is podcasting. You learn that on your own. What we do is the podcast strategy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the athlete plays in the game. As the trainer, I can only stand on the sidelines during those moments. It's what happens before and after that. And that's what we focus on. And that's what strategy is, right? It's, you know, really the strategy broken down simply. It's here's what the goal is. Here's how we plan to tackle that goal. The strategy is a list of priorities in order, right? Based on the information that we have. The plan is those priorities broken down by time. And then the action is those priorities, you actually living them out, right? So it's strategy, plan, and then action, right? So if you, most people just start with the action. So they start with the bottom up, and that's where the content chases.
I'm one of those people.
Yeah. Yes. And I get it. That works. People.
The this problem room looks is dirty. I will begin immediately. Yeah.
The problem is that works. That's the issue, right? The issue is relentless action is incredible because you'll get incredible results, but you'll get 1,000 miles away and look back and go, how did I even get here?
Right? Where am I? Do I even want to be here where I've gone?
It's not necessary evil. It's just necessary. It's just like
I love it.
Strategies is mandatory, you know? But yeah, and you probably see that with the production, right? You can tell a client who has a strategy
absolutely.
Yep, versus a client who goes, we're doing this week or we're doing that this week and there's
it
no
can
real
be such plan. A big chasm between between what's absolutely. You'll be surprised what falls through the cracks and what people want to be included that doesn't, you know. Yeah, it's more inputs than you realize, for sure.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
I had an interesting idea the other day with how much we've been coaching people with their podcasts. I feel like there's so much interplay between what you do helping people with their LinkedIn approach to marketing, who they're talking to, how they talk, what they talk about, all that good stuff. And the podcast strategy, it feels like they're very, very similar. Do you feel like getting strategy to start and launch a podcast and getting all of that direction for that content can sort of be the same as getting a general direction, a vision for your marketing strategy as well? Do you feel like that, not that you can sub one out for the other, but that they're pretty much almost parallel, right?
Yeah, the answer is yes, because the podcast shows you if you have everything else dialed in too. So you can't, I went to a conference yesterday and I said to somebody who asked me something about podcasting, I said, the worst thing you can have is a successful podcast and an unsuccessful business. It's the worst thing.
Ooh. Yeah.
Because
how do you unroll it, right?
It's the standard influencer problem. I have a million followers and I don't know how to make money.
Yeah, how to deploy them, right? Yeah, where are they going? What's the point? Yep.
So that's what podcasting does. And this is what we've experienced. What we did was we began giving people advice on their podcast. They came back to us and said, hey, this is good, but I'm having trouble with sales. And I go, all right. So, right? When you turn over the rock, you get everything that's under that rock, right? So that's kind of what, that is the interplay. That's why we now have content strategy as a service. And now I am doing a sheer diagnosis with a client, with a prospect now. I go, so what are you thinking with email, LinkedIn, the rest of your content ecosystem? Is that all dialed in? And they'll be like, Mostly, but maybe there's some work. Why do you ask? Well, we also do that too. So we might as, what I would say is do not launch a podcast if your marketing isn't already working or you are have doubt and anxiety around your marketing. Let's work on that for a month or two first. Now you can relax. You know that you're bringing in inbound leads from your content. Now let's add on the podcast, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have a quick follow-up real quick for that too. Do you think it's worth it to start a podcast if your business is still in its infancy or if even if you haven't really created it yet, if you have a strong idea of what you want to do, who you want to help, all of that good stuff, but it hasn't actually come to fruition? Do you think it's worth it to explore the idea of a podcast, or should that wait a little bit?
I think it's definitely worth it because you will get benefits from it, even if you don't even edit it and like don't really promote it that well. It'll work on you.
It's like the marketing conversation we had before. It's like, it's a good thing to think about in general, you know, and you may pick up a lot of things through osmosis.
Just here's another aspect too. The more successful you are, the more successful you think your podcast has to be. So if your business isn't that successful, then you'll, then you're like, well, my podcast,
release the pressure.
My podcast is just, I'm just doing it. But that's what we find so many people. We have clients who have podcasts and we don't even talk about that. Like we go, hey, you're already doing something that like most people have trouble doing. You keep doing that. Let's focus on your sales and marketing first. And then we'll circle back around to the podcast, because by the time we circle back around to it, you'll have those 50 episodes for us to judge by. Right.
Oh, so yeah.
As a,
That's
huge. Totally worth it. It's totally worth it. Now, can you afford somebody like a company like Podcast Principles to come in and design your whole strategy when you don't have any clients? Probably not.
Right? Maybe better to start, as like with a couple hired guns and your own. Because again, look, there's way more access even than 3 or 4 years ago, I think, with just the tech stack that people have available to them. And it's just not as expensive as it was. We mentioned Opus before for clips. I mean, you can have even the Riverside and Zencaster will clean up the audio and the video for you, whether you wanted to do it or not. I think the video would clean up a little bit. That's fine, you know? But yeah, you can get away with, there's tons of different levels. And like you said, I think it's really important if you can come to somebody or like a podcast coach and say, I already have 30, 40 episodes in the bag. I already know what I like, don't like. I've already seen a little bit of what the market has told me about the content and maybe what my audience has told me. So yeah, don't break the bank, but it's if you have the time and the inclination, I think it's a worthwhile, you know, it's worthwhile to get the data at least and to probe the experience.
And it's not like we haven't done this, right? You've been literally the pivotal member of Wealth Warehouse, you know, in terms of getting all of their content out there. And they started a podcast and they started a business at the same time. And now both of them are wildly successful. Now, these gentlemen were very much further in life, right? That's also an aspect of it.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Right. So they did have money to invest. That's why they invested money in it, right?
And they knew exactly what they wanted to do. I mean, it was, it was cast.
The vision
stone.
Was quite clear. So I would say it's not about where you are. It's more about how sure are you of the things you're doing. Right. That how sure are you that they're going to work? Right. For sure.
Absolutely, dude. Love it.
A pivotal part of this podcast system is what some people don't even know what they're even called, but it's the clips.
Yeah.
Right. I actually talked to somebody the other day who's like, clips. I don't even know what clips mean. Us being social media heads.
Did they land on a meteor or something?
I don't know.
I don't know what clips are.
I guess videos. Right.
Okay.
But what is up with clips, man? I feel like half of any social media feed is like podcast clips, you know? So why is that? But why is that such an important, meaning if you leave that out, you can't not leave that out now, maybe versus 4 or 5 years ago when we started.
Oh, yeah. People's brains, I think, are melting. I do. I think that our brains are melting and it's going towards a lot shorter duration stuff. And you'll see that too with, I mean, LinkedIn's doing it now. I feel that LinkedIn's doing clips now is the ultimate market signal that short form content is here to stay. LinkedIn is the public library of social media platforms. Okay.
Yes.
right? When they're roller skating around and they're trying, they got the boom button. That's how you know something is, you know, it's reached through. So I think clips become such an important factor just from how these platforms operate and they deliver content, because from their end, I can deliver pieces of content and keep giving them fresh stuff. And we're seeing returns in terms of them being on the site longer. So these platforms are pushing it. And then I also think that it's just a genuinely really good way to deliver content. If you're a coach, if you have a business that makes grapple grommets and you need to kind of deliver key pieces of information or a key highlight that can help you cement your authority, having those moments not be buried in an hour-long episode or even a 30 or 20-minute episode is so important. So all of the trend and platform stuff aside, I feel that with podcasting being a long-form media, clips are a necessary part for the creator to say, hey, here's some cool moments because I respect your time. And also, here's some cool moments that I want you to focus and look on. So there's a little handshake there where the person's going to go to these moments saying, this is set up because these are the most leverage, these are the most high leverage, high value, whatever you want to call it, moments, right? But that's also the best way, like I said before, to export those moments, to export your expertise, those highlights that you really look like a genius, where you can really bring that expertise to bear or that authority. So clips functionally just work really well with podcasts, even if we didn't have YouTube Shorts, even if we didn't have the new LinkedIn clip feed system. I just think that they need to be with a podcast. That's why it's the 451 is the clips are an important part of it, you know, to show people, hey, if you're not going to watch the full episode, at least check this clip out. You'll be so surprised how many viewers are going to, that you'll capture just from those little clip moments that may never watch that entire episode or may have never watched your podcast in the first place. And especially LinkedIn, business professionals, people with no time. I know I'm rattling on, but you know, you can also look at different media that you're competing with. This is another thing that I always bring up, whether it be to clients or mine, he probably knows what I'm going to say. We are competing in such an insane media environment. Whether if you're just looking at podcasting, if you're a financial advisor, okay, it's crowded in the podcast area, but let's zoom out. What about YouTube blogs about, or vlogs, right? About some streamer that somebody follows, or streaming in general, or Netflix, or going to the movies, or HBO Max and watching a movie, or watching a TV series. There's so many other things that people want to do with their free time, and they will choose to do those things over your podcast. You have to make it easy for them to consume those really, really good bits. And the good part is you can pick those, right? So we don't need to despair that, oh no, people are only watching around 3 or 4 minutes of my episode. You get to pick those 3 or 4 minutes and the hit rate is very high, right? Because that's what people are doing. They're watching at 3 or 4 minutes a piece. You see that on LinkedIn analytics, right?
Yep.
Average watch time. It's like 2 minutes, really? Yeah, people go in and out. That's how they consume stuff.
And if you don't have a podcast, right? You didn't start one yet. This sounds crazy. Basically, all of your content can just be clips of your podcast.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I forgot about this. Yeah.
Right? Which is literally the 451. The system that we sell is not a podcast.
Anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, anything. It means you sit down and you're talking about stuff, right? What happened with me and Jack is we sit down and we talk about this stuff anyway. So we said, all right, let's hop on and let's go back and forth and ask each other questions, right? And I'm talking in this, we're at 33 minutes right now, could be a week to 2 weeks of content. And
content
that brings you leads. Not crazy. I've booked 400 calls from LinkedIn. 400 discovery calls I've booked from LinkedIn because of this system. And that's just the reality. So it's not only that society and culture is shifting to 60-minute segments. It's that your 60-minute segments can be your marketing for your business too. And that brings the whole thing home.
Yeah. Yeah. That could be a cool thing too. I mean, once you get it set up, it can work very well for you, whether it's just passive lead generation or like what we're talking about, that you can take a piece of content and you can live off of it like a buffalo for weeks and weeks, right? Yep. But you really can. And you can reuse those clips too. Those aren't spent, you know? You get so much play out of, especially on LinkedIn, because it's a feed, ladies and gentlemen. There's going to be 95 or 90% of your audience that's going to miss any given post. So you can reuse those clips over and over and over again. 15 to 20 clips becomes not just 15 to 20 posts. It could be 60, 70, 80 over a couple of years.
Wow. Yeah. No, it's so true.
Seriously.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah. Be a better friend to yourself. You can absolutely reuse them at that rate for sure.
Yeah. Double time. I mean, that's what podcasting is. It's efficiency. Yeah. It's just the most efficient way to market is to create one thing and have that thing be created, repurposed into five other things.
Like, yeah, 50 other things. Yeah, it's a Swiss Army knife of media. It's great.
The group coaching of marketing.
It takes a little doing to you know, but yeah, again, that's why we say it's so important to have a process, to have a system, to have a strategy. It's a bitch to set it all up. We know.
Yeah, but
when you have it come through the conveyor belt and all the clips come out, all this content, it goes and shoots through all these different tubes and all these different, it's, you know, when it really works, you know?
Yeah.
It does take some elbow grease to get there for sure.
And you dude, know, the dopamine of getting clips from your editor too is on a whole new level.
Feels good.
When Jose sends me those and I go, baby, we got, it's got a trap beat in the background. I'm like, this thing.
No, it does. And look, especially on LinkedIn, that is still a big, big flex. You can still get some basic clips and blow your competition out of the water. Seriously. And in some industries, There is no competition. I mean, we'll see. And IBC is like still like, it's like a frontier in terms of influencers and people talking about it. Yeah.
So look at the cost. I mean, look at the cost of doing this. Like it, even if you're our, like, even if you're a client, you know, you're spending like a few hundred dollars a month to get one video a day, like one clip a day. Yeah. That's like 30 videos. Like, yeah, even for us, like we have a team. So, obviously the cost, like we've put in a lot of the time and effort to hire the
right people. Yeah, but you can slip by.
Yeah, but I'm still
a couple other, you know, really just simple clean them up programs, and you can skip the editors and you can get stuff out and it'll be okay.
Yep.
It'll be okay.
It's crazy,
it won't look bad. It won't make your brand look bad.
I mean, who can say this? Who, what other marketing, you know, are you going to do that you would just do in your spare time, and it's fun to do and it's fun to make, and you're going to do it anyway and not click record? Like I just can't see any other thing that you do. I just went to a conference, right? And yeah, I heard a lot of stories of, we spent $200,000 on billboards and ads.
Yeah.
And guess what?
Yeah.
Zero, right? You can't repurpose a billboard. Once it's gone, it's gone. They rip down. I mean, they're digital now, but yeah, you can use it as fire. I mean, I guess like fire starter.
No, I know. Yeah, but I was going to say the same thing, brother. Like, how excited do you get about email marketing? I mean, Lord knows it still works. But
I'm so hyped about an ebook, bro.
You don't see anybody that's like, oh man, I'm going to get this newsletter.
This PDF, bro. This PDF is next level. Like, you can't.
And look.
Yeah.
Those people may exist. They've killed other people. Okay. Those are serial killers, right?
Absolutely.
That enjoy, right? That's the classification of those are people with antisocial tendencies. But yeah, you're right. It's a way to tap into the creative into you. And, you know, also when you get good at it and it becomes a repeatable system, talking is easy, or especially if it's a discovery call and this is something that you're already doing. And that's used as content. I mean, that's, I don't know. That's kind of cool. Once you're in the game of like trying to put stuff together and maybe you're being chased by LinkedIn, suddenly the client call and the odd discovery call and the client interview and stuff like that begins to look pretty attractive, you know, to get some variety, to get it off your back. Because again, I don't think LinkedIn posting is something that people feel very inspired by, you know? I don't think it's hell on earth, but I don't think it's something that is like going to a water park. You know, I don't think that that's a very fun activity to do that.
And no.
Day after day. I mean, you can tell people it's just
now, dude, like, I enjoy
day
it.
After day.
I love it now. I love
well,
it now
because you're the king of LinkedIn.
Yeah,
that's
no,
why
no,
you
but I really didn't before. Like, I didn't love it like this, because now I take, so record podcast episode. My editor gives me the clips. Like, I don't choose the moments. Like, I choose the moments from the moments he chose. So I don't even have to go through the episode, right?
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. Yeah, you don't have to sit back through it
then
again.
Then I get a clip and I transcribe it, and then my GPT makes the caption. My content creation process now is getting excited about how ChatGPT is going to write this post.
Robots talking to one another. Yeah.
Now instead of going, oh no, what am I going to freaking post? Now I go, oh cool. Let's see what GPT is going to spit me out today. Let's see what weird thing it's going to do that I didn't tell it to do, you know? Mm-hmm. And so now that's the excitement. So it's like, yeah, would you rather sit there and try to write, or would you rather do it this way? You know, and we're already over time, but I mean, that's basically the gist.
Hey, dude, you got it. Let's do it, dude. Boom. I figured we would take a little break before we got our next one going. But yeah, that was fucking amazing. Thank you for expanding on that, too.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the newly improved Ryan Sullivan Show. Now, since this podcast has changed, I want to get some new people in here in this kind of new ecosystem, whether it's business, entrepreneurship, podcasting, social media content. So if you know anybody who likes content like this, maybe they're just starting their brand, make sure to share it with them. That's the only thing I'm going to ask you to do here. You know the deal. If you've listened once, make sure to hit that follow and subscribe if you actually enjoyed. And finally, really would mean a lot if you could share this with at least one person so we can continue to help people grow and launch their business and their podcast. Okay, I'll catch you next week.